So now it's time for Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, the December 28th, 2023 edition. This is going to be a flashback to December 6th, 2016. I'm going to give you a brief introduction, play a quickie from kind of a 5 minute or so blurbish statement from Caitlin Johnston, who I like, listen to fairly regularly. You can find her online. That's Caitlin, Caitlin. Johnstone, Johnstone. She's a big opponent of the Gaza-Ukraine war, American imperialism, and speaks with a lot of passion and depth, at least so it seems to me. And actually, I mostly hear her through the voice of her partner, Tim Foley. He reads her stuff. I'm not sure it's her husband or her lover or her buddy or her colleague, whatever he is. He's good at reading it. He's a familiar voice for me, and I hope he becomes a familiar voice for you. I think you should listen to more of these Caitlin Johnston updates, though keep reading other sources too, of course. So I will actually just launch right into that directly, and then go into the description of the flashback, which I'm not going to tell you a lot about because you're going to be listening to it, but a few things. Here's Caitlin through the voice of Tim Foley, and this particular edition is called I Will Not Look Away. And, of course, it's about the endless murder that's going on, as was happening on December 6th when this thing was either recorded or published, and it's still happening on December 28th as I'm speaking. So here are her thoughts.
I will not look away. No matter how horrific it gets, I will not look away. No matter how many children I see killed and injured in the most gruesome ways imaginable, I will not look away. No matter how much human suffering I see by keeping my gaze on Gaza, I will not look away. No matter how many nightmares I have, I will not look away. No matter how many tears I shed, I will not look away. No matter how many reasons the propagandists and manipulators come up with for me to turn my gaze elsewhere, I will not look away. No matter how many insults and accusations I am tarred with for refusing to look away, I will not look away. No matter how much easier it would be to look away, I will not look away. I will not avert my gaze. I will not become distracted. I will not lose myself to the sedated stupor of escapism. I will not do my best to pretend that everything is normal and that life is basically fine. It's a paltry offering, really, almost nothing. But it's all I've got to offer, this simple, sacred vow to honor the victims by refusing to look away from what's being inflicted upon them, to be here for it to the furthest extent possible. The people of Gaza are suffering far more than I have ever suffered, and probably far more than I ever will suffer. But in my own meager and entirely insufficient way, I can try to make sure they're not suffering on their own. To the extent of one person's gaze, one person's attention, one person's reverence, I can ensure that the world has not turned their back on them. I can ensure that, to that extent, they are not forgotten. That way, even if my other efforts fail, even if all our collective efforts fail, if the activism comes up short, if we fail to open enough eyes and apply enough pressure in the necessary places, then at least their deaths, their losses, and their anguish will not have slipped by unnoticed, unappreciated, unvalued, unwitnessed. I will not look away, because these lives matter and I have a duty to honor them. I will not look away, because that would be giving the bastards what they want. I will not look away, because even in my powerlessness to help, I still have the power to bear witness. I will not look away, for the same reason that when my parents are dying, I will hold their hand and stay by their bedside until they are gone. Even if we can't stop this, at the very least, we can give them our seeing. At the very least, we owe them that.
And, of course, now we look away to the October 6, 2016 edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, which has a variety of bits in it. One is a flashback to Becky Johnson, Beggar Backer Becky, as I used to call her, reading some of her Broken Windows, Broken Theory. Broken Windows Theory was the theory that you have to get rid of homeless people in an area because they're like a broken window. They cause more crime in the area. It was advanced in the Atlantic Monthly, I think, back in the early 80s. Becky was arrested for chalking. Actually, she was taken into custody. And then she went to court and fought it and lost because the courts were in collusion with the police. That's the local courts, the court of Junk Justice Joseph, as we called the court. Magistrate in Department 10 in the basement of the county building. But there were subsequent decisions somewhat before this broadcast in 2016 where there were contradictory rulings, and I don't really know what the current status of chalking on the sidewalk is. I suspect it may have been found First Amendment protected speech again, although in Santa Cruz you're always at risk doing this kind of thing because the courts tend to take a dim view of such things, even if the Constitution is supposed to protect them, and you have to have the wherewithal, the patience, and the resources to take it to the higher courts, and then you may or may not win. Anyway, you'll be hearing Becky's speech from June 28, 2002 on chalking. You'll hear Pat Malo, who I have talking about Proposition 215, which was an early attempt to decriminalize marijuana. David Silva weighs in. That's dead on David Silva, a longtime activist in Santa Cruz, who a number of us remember, and he was a fighter against the sleeping ban law, which still sits on the books in modified form. Wes White talks about his Salinas struggles, and you'll hear Mike Rhodes talking about the homeless in Fresno. The whole thing cuts off pretty abruptly because we were having difficulty having a proper recording timing in the Radio Libre site where most of this was captured. But there's enough of it there, I think, that it's worth listening to, and now you get to hear it.